Well, how many of you brought your Bibles? Amen. If you will, open up to 1 John chapter 3. We're going to continue on, and I hope I leave a good impression on you, seeing how you come out on such a wonderful day that today is. And boy, it's a wonderful day, is it not? Praise God. I'm excited. 1 John chapter 3. That's a little John's. Praise God. Okay, in 1 John chapter 3. Verse 20. For if our hearts condemn us. The word if here is what we call a third class condition. There are actually three classes of ifs mentioned in the Bible. One is fact, if, and it is true. The second one is if you are willing. And this one here is third class. It says maybe you will, maybe you won't. And so it has nothing to do with the fact that God is condemning the heart. For why would he write in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. So what he's referring to here is that as a believer, your heart could condemn you because you're more aware of where you're living and what you're doing than you realize yourself. God knows right where you're at. You know. And so we brought out last Sunday morning that the heart that is full of condemnation has a very difficult time in believing God, especially to do something for them. And God doesn't want us to live in that kind of condition. He wants us to know his love for us. And he wants us to know that he wishes the best things for us, but in spite of us. Right. And so we don't even have that much brains sometimes. And so he put these verses in here, and I love them because they had done so much to free me up. He says, for if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. Is there anything that would escape God concerning you? I hope you don't think that you can hide things from him. And so he's saying, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. Beloved, if, and that's third class condition, if your heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. And that word confidence means the act of speaking boldly. When a person is not confident within himself, it'll show up in his conversation. It'll show up in how he communicates. And this word here, then we have confidence towards God. Notice, towards God. It doesn't say anything about God having confidence towards us. But it's us that we have the difficulty of having confidence towards him. Now, aren't you glad that God's love never changes towards us? Somebody said, well, if we do something wrong, what position does he take? Well, he's not like human love. Uh-oh, they messed up today. That's it. This is the fourth time I've dealt with this guy. He's out of here. That's not the way God is. God understands. So God, whenever you do something wrong, you know what God's looking to do? Show you how to get out of that thing. There is no temptation taking you such as common to man, but God is willing to make a way escape for you. But it's up to you. You've got to be the one that's be willing to do that. But notice what it goes on to say. It's very interesting. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And people don't realize that it's not so much God's inability to do something for us, but it's us not being in a position to exercise our faith towards him. Because, see, When the church was established in the earth, God gave the authority that the church called salvation. He put it into our hands. Now, if man had a real gripe with God, that would be the gripe that he would have. Is why did you put it in my hands to exercise my faith to receive from you? In the Old Testament, they went to God to receive. But you and I, we can go to God through His revealed will and get results. Because it's already established through Christ. You know, I thought it was very interesting when I was studying all the places in the New Testament, the four Gospels, and how there was not one person that was healed because of Jesus' faith. It was their faith. And the ones that couldn't receive from Jesus were His own relatives and friends from the town that He was raised in. He couldn't do any. And then He said He marveled at their unbelief. Now, if you get a hold of this, it'll really help you. Even when you know you've made a mistake, it doesn't shut God off from you. You shut yourself off from God. And that's why we always encourage people, stay away from the areas that bring your own personal condemnation onto yourself. Stay away from those areas because you're a lot better off if you can do that. Now, with that thought in mind, let's go to Hebrews chapter 11 again. Hebrews chapter 11. And the book of Hebrews was the converted Jews that were under so much pressure because they had lost their family, their friends. They spat on them. They didn't want nothing to do with them. And they were under a lot of pressure, a lot of load. And as a result, they finally got to a place in their walk with Christ that they decided to go back to Judaism and keep Jesus at the same time. They weren't trying to go out of God. They were trying to find a neutral ground where they could receive Christ and still walk in Judaism. And so the writer of the book of Hebrews, which I do believe was Paul, he wrote the entire book to show the converted Jew that by going back into Judaism, you're abandoning Christ. And that's not the place to go. And so it came down to Hebrews chapter 11, and the writer, throughout the whole book, he's showing the superiority of Jesus, staying under Him and not going back into Judaism. Because you're going back into now another gospel that God no longer backs. Now watch what he says in the first verse. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Again, I want to bring up the word substance. This word, I always looked at it, meaning something that's tangible, something that I could feel, or something solid. That's how I looked at that word for substance. How many of you know that substance is something that you can handle, you can see, you can feel, you can touch? Normally in our thinking, that's what it is. But in the Greek, the word substance has a little different meaning. It has the word hupostasis. Hupo literally means standing under something, and stasis means that which stands. So it's referring to our faith as having substance that we stand under. In other words, we've chosen to take a stand on something. Hello? And the thing that you've chosen to take a stand on is your faith. See, and people don't realize that when you look at your own personal heart and condemn yourself, then you're not going to make a stand on anything. And so when he says now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, Kenneth Hagin did preach the right message when he said, faith is not hope. What he meant was hope that's future. That's where he was coming from. Because I asked him this personally myself. And so I told him, then why does it say in verse 1, faith, hope for? And then I told him, in the Greek, it's referring to aorist tense, means a completed work in the past. And he says, you're correct. Well, he'd seen that, but I didn't hear it in the messages that you preach. I had to go to him personally on it. But he was referring to a hope that's future. Now, for teaching example, Victor, would you come up here? And stand here. I want you to get a hold of something here. Stand right up here on the platform. There you go. John, you come on up here and you stand right here on this edge. Okay? John is hope future tense. That's what John is. And then Victor is hope past tense, aorist. Because that's aorist tense there in that first verse. And so we looked at Victor as hope past tense. But before you look at them at their extreme, here they are, and come together behind me. Now, when I exercise my faith, when my faith is exercised, it's going to be on the basis of a hope. So, if that's the case, then what if hope, future tense, John, is in my thinking? Then what groundwork has my faith got? But if my hope is on past tense, then my faith has substance. Amen? And so it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So if I'm standing under a hope as the exercising my faith, then what hope would I stand under in order for my faith to work for me? Would it be a hope that's future, or would it be a hope that's past tense? Both? See, that's the problem that the church has. It is not both. Faith only has substance when it is past tense. It is called a completed work. This is where me, in the center of this thing, make a decision that God has revealed His will to me. Would He reveal His will to me for a hope future tense to work? Or would it be as a result of what Jesus had done to me already past tense? So really, if I want my faith to work for me, I would have to stand under something that is translated substance. Now, with that thought in mind, stay up here. You guys don't mind standing here, do you? Oh, okay. All right. I want us to go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And I'm trying to get a point across, even though you've heard this before. It helps to go through this because I've meditated it through my mind time and again. And most error that I find with anybody that expresses the gospel, whether it's a minister or whether it's laity, most of the time I see that the error is predicated on the basis of a lack of true understanding of what it means to meditate the Word of God, to roll it over in your mind. Now, when I've come to an enlightenment, a piece of enlightenment, I just don't take it for granted. I roll it over in my thinking process. I go back into Scripture. I look for Scriptures that support it. And I keep rolling it over in my mind from every angle and every direction I can think of. And once I'm settled in as to the meaning of it, then that's what I will stand under. Now, in James chapter 1, He says at verse 2, my brethren, count on all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. The word patience is really the word endurance. Endurance. And endurance of perseverance. An endurance of perseverance. Now watch this. But let patience or endurance have its perfect work. The word perfect here means a completed process. The reason many of us don't see our faith really come to pass is that we have not stood under what we've been believing for long enough for it to work. We abandon it too soon. We abandon it way too soon. And a lot of times it could be the condition that our heart is in. Sometimes when we have to endure for a while, that also gives our natural mind the concept of a greater voice. It isn't coming to pass. It's not working for you. Because in the past you've done this very same thing. And eventually your natural mind, without the help of the devil. Now the devil comes along to help it. Which adds to it. It comes and convinces you to stand out from under your faith. The substance of your faith. Get out from under that and rely on what you see. And so he's saying here, let your patience have its completed work that you may be mature and complete. Notice this, lacking nothing. Lacking nothing. Now, is this scripture true or is it a lie? It depends on who you listen to. If you listen to the wrong voice, and you can have help from your dear friends. Because they'll surely come up and say, stay away from that faith message. You know what happened to sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so. And you don't know where you wait. Boy, that is a wrong place to be. And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. You know something? How many of you question whether or not you did the right thing? You begin to wonder, did I choose the right avenue? Am I seeing the right thing? Well, then, if you question that, ask God about it. And you know what he'll do? He'll take you back to his word. Take you right back to his word. Right here in the word. What does the word say about it? I'll tell you what. I've made the wrong choices in my life. And when I went to God about it, he says, oh, you lack some wisdom there of how you got into this thing? Let's go back to the word. And he'd show me right there in the word. And I go, I knew it. I should have stayed. Do you know that there are opportunities that come your way every day? And some of them are very critical. That if you don't take that opportunity, you might not have it come by you again. Now notice this. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, God's not going to withhold anything to you. He'll give it to you. But he will not give it to you in such a way that you will move out from under your faith and look at something future. Now watch this. But let him ask in faith, no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, because he's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. In all his ways. Listen, your faith can't work when you're double-minded about everything. You got to make a decision. You're going to make a stand. Now, I want you to just, you guys don't mind standing there, right? Okay. Notice this word endurance. This word literally means two words, brought together just like the word substance in Hebrews 11:1. It is hupomone. It literally means to abide under it. Don't be moved by it. Well, what if you're abiding under this guy? Guess what? Your faith has no substance. But if you're under this guy, no, nothing against you, John. But if you're under this guy, you're under Christ. Because Christ is called the hypostatic union. Deity and humanity united. And what was good for Jesus, not Christ, Jesus, is good for you. And so if my faith, I'm standing under the substance of my Lord, then my foundation has a substance. Now you guys can go ahead and sit down.
Well, Pastor, you have no idea how long I have been under this thing and I have not seen any results.
It's because you're standing under this guy. And when you're standing under this guy, you have no substance. Why? Because God's revealed will is not predicated on what might come to pass. That's an Old Testament believer. But as a New Testament believer, you can see the results of your faith that many of them could not see back then. Because if you read on chapter 11, it said, many having seen the promises afar off, but never partook of them. And they couldn't be made perfect in their faith until we came along and we finished it off. Did you know that our time period, Jesus, is the author and finisher of our faith? Jesus was the author and the creditor of their faith. The author and creditor of their faith. He's now the author and finisher of our faith for them and us. Now, it's what you decide to stand under that counts. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to stand under your faith according to what you are, I got news for you. It's not because of the hope that's past tense, fulfilled or completed in Christ. It's a hope in where you're standing right now, and you ain't got hope on either direction. Now, what did Jesus actually say in Mark 11:23-24? It says, let's go there. It's good for me to go over this stuff. Amen? Because it gets us to thinking. Did you know that even when I get a revelation of something, then as I partake of that revelation, I go over it in my mind until it becomes a part of my thinking. My precious wife, I love her so much. And she went through a deal with arthritis in her spine, and it kind of starts pinching off that nerve, kind of a deal, you know. And I saw the misery she went through and everything, and I hated it. I hated it because I knew that I had, and I had to meditate on the subject of faith and everything. And as I was growing in this subject, I told the Lord, I says, Lord, she's never going to go back there again like that. I'm going to carry her. And he said 4 years, the doctor gave her 4 years, and it would be back. They could do only so much. And so Sue came to me and said, I'm feeling that feeling. My leg's feeling weird. And she said, the doctor said 4 years. And I said, Sue, let me pray for you right now. And I prayed for her right then and there. And I said, we're not going to have this in the name of Jesus. I laid my hands on her, prayed for her. And just yesterday we were leaving Home Depot and she was doing real good walking across the, was it yesterday we were at Home Depot? Or was it the, yeah. And she says, I said, Sue, man, you're doing so good. Come on, Dad. She said, wow, I am walking along. No more weird feeling in her leg. Why? Because the Lord did something for her. Are you following me? You see, I helped the sister to stay under what I prayed for her. Did you know, husband and wives, you know you can pray for your mates? You can. You can help carry them until they experience the results of what you're praying for them, and they'll kick it off on their own. Sue, I know now in her heart, man, she ain't going to go back there once you start feeling that. A little discomfort in her back or something. Hey, I'll tell you what. Don't go back to where the doctor said, well, it's 4 years and that's all we can do for you and you got to settle in for the rest. No, that's where you go back to the doctor and say, doctor, how's your back? It's been 4 years since you worked on mine. How's your back? Can I pray for your back? Now, he says here very plainly in Mark 11, 23 and 24. Well, let's go to verse 23. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, meaning something that seems unmovable. It wasn't that literally referring to a mountain. Come on, people. We got to have better brains than that. Mount Rainier, knees up here, move out of here. You're right. A little pebble from it knocked me out. Be removed and be cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes. I wish he hadn't said a mountain. He was making an emphasis. You're talking to something that doesn't seem like it can move. But if you're standing under the hope that is establishing Christ, listen, people, there's nothing impossible for God to do for you. And now look at this. Be removed and does not doubt in his heart. In his heart. God goes along with James. But believe that those things which he says will come to pass. He will have whatever he says. I like it in the Greek. He will have it. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. What does that mean? It'll show up in the future. Why? Because you're standing under what has been completed, past tense, and it will show up future tense. Why? Because you did not stand on what you were hoping to see. You were standing on what you had already saw. I'm about ready to get that guy and go for a run around this church. Hello? Matter of fact, come on up here. Let's run together. Now, don't try to outrun me. Come on up here. Come on up here. Yeah, get up here. You're sitting there. Oh, yeah, you're the runner. Okay. Now, that's how you run. All right? Yes, now, your hope completed. Your past tense. We're going to run together. Go hold on to you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
You're still going?
Yeah, we're going to go around this whole church. I'm going to let my faith work its completed work.
Glory, glory.
Glory, glory, glory.
Hallelujah.
Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory. Glory, glory. Get going. Glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory.
Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Just speeding up on me.
Huh?
You're speeding up.
Are you all right?
Glory, I'm great. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hey, it worked. Glory, glory. I got here. I got where I was at. Boy. Guy's in shape. Listen, people. bodily exercise profit is little. Yeah. Happy birthday. Thank you. We should understand that we live, move, and have our being in the revealed will of God out of sacrifice, never the body of experience. Amen. We are what God says we are. But we have to stay under what has been revealed to us, that belongs to us. But I'm going to tell you what, your own mind, your own self-condemning mind can rob you of being able to get under the right person that God is for your sake. Amen. I hope this helped you. Again, I want to go over what Jesus said every time when he went to heal. Matter of fact, I wrote them down in scripture in my prayer book, my journal. And I'll go back to them if I'm battling something for myself. And it's, you know, it's easier to believe for somebody else, and it's harder for you. And I asked the Lord one day why, and he says, because you're living in what you have to believe me for. They're living in what they have to believe for, but you're not living in what they have to believe for. Are you following me? And so that helps you. But Jesus said in John 16:33, I'll never forget it when the Lord said this to me, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And part of that world is my own self-condemning mind. Now, how many of you known that you make mistakes? How many of you been under pressure and given in to temptation and did something you know God doesn't approve of? How many of you have ever done that? Thank God we got a few honest people around here. Every one of us do. Listen, even when you overcome the most difficult things that you've given into temptation for, when you've overcome them, I guarantee you, your natural mind and the devil will find the littlest thing to come back at you. And the little or the big. It's all predicated on what you allow to neutralize you. Did you know that there isn't one of us in this building that did not wake up this morning to a new day? Did any of you wake up as a result of tomorrow or today? Today is a new day. It's a new beginning. You know, there's scripture that even says that in the Psalm. Beautiful scriptures that talk about today is a new day in the Lord. It's a fresh start. What, for God? For you. God's always existed. He's always been. God doesn't exist 24 hours a day. God is, as a result of God being, 24 hours came along. And so you and I are living in the 24-hour time period frame, right? So when you wake up today, guess what? Today is a new day. You can look at it this way. It's a fresh start. How many days are in a year? 365? Kind of look at that like cash. Every day is money. A fresh new bank account. You got $365 in your bank account, and you can spend a dollar a day. Well, what happens if you don't accomplish anything today? You've just blown a buck. And I'd hate to end up at the end of a year and be depleted in my bank. You're bankrupt. There ain't nothing there. But if you turn your life into a what? into a money-making machine, then you'll have money added to your day. And you could end at the end of the year, you could be a millionaire. Why? Because you steward your life properly. Well, God didn't come break in on His wisdom into your life so that you would go into a deficit. It's so you could go into a what? Surplus. And I'm going to tell you something, people. I like what Casey Treat once said. I loved it. I said, man, I wish I'd have said that. You don't go through life living through a rearview mirror. You don't get very far. Well, of course not. How would you like to drive down the street facing a guy that's looking in his rearview mirror? Of course, anymore lately, I'm having to watch my rearview mirror on the freeway when I hit my brakes. Ooh, I look in the rearview mirror and some spacehead might be following up behind. That's happened to me one time. We were going to lunch and looked in my rearview mirror and I just went off into the field. Boom! Felt sorry for the guy ahead. I didn't have a way to text him or anything. It's a coming. And so when you're exercising faith, you got to stand under something that's already completed work. That's why he said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. How does that help me? Because he gave me what he accredited to his overcoming power. He gave it to me. For me to exercise it. I'll tell you what. Any of you done a lot of flying? There's a difference between flying coach and flying first class. And you can't tell me there's not one of you in here. If you got to fly someplace, especially a long place like John Botello flies, you know, you can't tell me that you would not want to fly 11 hours in an airplane first class. You want to go to coach next to the toilet in the rear where it stinks? Or would you rather ride first class? Well, what if God gave you a first class ticket?
Oh, I'm so unworthy for this beautiful position. I'll go sit in the back where I'll humble myself.
If God ever had a complaint, he'd probably roll his eyes back in the head. Well, if he wants to sit in the back next to the stinker, let him. But if he gives you a first class ticket, sit where he expects you to sit. You're the only one that can stop you. Did you know the devil can't stop you? Did you know that? If you make your mind up, the devil ain't going to stop you. He ain't going to stop you. It's up to you. Did you know that God is not going to be involved in stopping you unless it's something that you're stupid enough to go beyond and fall off the cliff? I think you're getting the drift of the meaning. If you're going to exercise your faith, you got to stand under something. And I hope it ain't something future tense. It better be a completed work in the past tense. In closing, turn over to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Boy, most people get the book of Romans all messed up. Just the way things are worded. In Romans chapter 10, notice this. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. Now, how many of you understand those verses we read? Read the verses before it. Let's go up to about verse 5. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law, that the man who does those things shall live by them. Listen, you can be your own law. Now notice this. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven. That is to bring Christ down from above. Now, this is saying faith does not speak this way. But we read a verse that says that our faith has to be released by our mouths. But notice he says, faith does not say, I will ascend into heaven. That is to bring Christ down from above. Or, who will descend into the abyss. That is to bring Christ up from the dead. Now, why does faith not speak that way? Because he's saying very clearly that if you want to get results as to pertaining to how your salvation works, you don't wait for God to bring it down. He's already done that. Faith doesn't say, one of these days, I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it. No, that's not on what the completed work of Christ that he did. That is hope that is past tense, it's completed. Faith doesn't speak that way, it speaks that way. And then when he says, and who will bring him up from the dead? I thought about that, and I thought about that, and I thought about that. And it always puzzled me for a long time. Christ up from the dead. Did you know that the completed work of Christ has positioned you and I all in a state of righteousness? And guess what? You'll never obtain to the right righteousness that qualifies you for your confession of faith to work for you. It is predicated on what he has made you to be righteous for. You don't have to wait until the resurrection. Right. Now, with that thought in mind, turn over to Romans chapter 4, the last verse. Who will ascend to that, bring Christ up from the grave? In other words, make you, put you in a position where you qualify for righteousness. Notice this, verse 25. Who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. No, through the justification of us. And so our faith doesn't speak on what we qualify to get anything out of him. It is what he has qualified for us, for our faith to work for us. Faith does not say, I know he's going to bring it to me. Faith does not say, I'm just not worthy enough to receive it. Listen, you'll indict yourself every time. And you know what? You'll get so in self-indicted, you'll go ahead and sin anyway. You know, the best way to ever get anywhere in your life for you, I don't think I'll have anyone disagree with me, for you to personally have success. Hello. Take a look at weight gain. If you're unhappy with being overweight, you can lose it. And once people do, I'll never go back there. Good, good, good. Why? Because success really is an encourager. It encourages you. And guess what? You have friends that will come along and do the same thing. I told Sue, I said, man, baby, you're looking pretty good. People like to hear and take notice of other people that are succeeding with what they fail at. Encourage them. Most of us look for something wrong with somebody. I wonder if they have a devil in them. Some people like to be complimented. Some people have a knack of destroying people with their mouths. Oh, here they come. And they'll give you a rundown of all the mistakes somebody will make. Thank God, God doesn't do that. Hello. I know my thoughts towards you. They are thoughts of good and not evil. Boy, God has good thoughts towards every one of us. Matter of fact, when he gives you a personal prophecy, it'll always be with edification, exhortation, and comfort. Did you guys get something today? Hallelujah. Well, I hope you did. I'm wore out after this message. Father, I thank you for today, and I thank you for your people. Stand up, everybody. We got to close. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm not in trouble, am I, sir? Hallelujah. This morning, if you never really have given your heart and life to Jesus, we would like to give you that opportunity. But if you had and you've been feeling so down and out, so unworthy, it's time to take and bury that thing and come alive to what God says about you. It will so encourage you and so build your faith, because Christ has done so much for you already. And so if you want to reestablish or reaffirm your faith with Him, we would love to pray with you, add our faith to yours today. Because today is a new day. And if you have been self-condemned and would like to acknowledge that you're not going to live that way anymore, you're going to live the way God wants you to, then this is a way to start, because this will give you the victory over the lows in your life. It so will. You know, whatever happened past this, in the past, from this day, is in the past. The only thing that amounts to anything in the past is what Christ has established for you. If you'd like us to pray with you, we would be glad to. And if you would like the infilling of the Holy Spirit with that prayer language to go with it, we'd love to pray with you. So with every head bowed, if there's anybody that would like to respond to the altar right now, feel free to do it. Hallelujah. Hey, you guys can go home. It's lemonade country. God bless you.